The tiny enclave of Gee's Bend is a rural community of slave descendants and one-time sharecroppers in southwest Alabama. The hamlet is now familiar to museum goers around the country because of a touring exhibit of quilts fashioned by local women. NPR's Debbie Elliott recently visited Gee's Bend. She found that despite its newfound acclaim, life there hasn't changed much.
Just about every weekday morning at the Nutrition Center in Gee's Bend, you'll find a group of women huddled over brightly colored fabric stretched taut between two wooden sawhorses.
That knee will work it up and down.
Wearing thimbles, the women push sturdy needles down through the strips of blue, brown, and patterned fabric, through layers of batting and lining, and back up again.
I said, once you learn it, it's easy. Stick the knee up down, bring it back through.
They make three or four quick stitches before pulling the thread through and starting over again. The movements appear to be second nature, something to occupy their hands as the women chit-chat about the recent rain, who's been sick, and how many quilts they've stitched together. Quilting for them today is a social activity, but as young teens, they learn the craft out of necessity. 63-year-old Lola Petway made her first quilt when she was 13.
My mother had me quilting, and I had to do it too. Yep, I had to do it. That's how we kept warm, making quilts. And I had, when I married, when I was 19, raising kids, and I still had to quilt to keep them warm.
She had 12 children to keep warm. The quilting tradition was passed down from grandmothers, who also used to gather in groups like this to make quilts from old clothes or leftover fabric scraps. They gave the quilts common names to describe their patterns, like bear paw, bricklay, or pig in the pen. The quilt they're stitching today is called a house top.
Look like the top on the house when the folks used to put them sheets of tin on the house.
Alonzia Petway explains.
Like the three sheets of tin go that way, and some come up this way, and some go that way. And that's how they looked at the housetop and said, this was housetop made just like that.
It's these patterns drawn from the world around them that have caught the attention of the art world. Several years ago, an Atlanta artist discovered the quilters and started buying their work and introducing it in folk art circles. Now, an exhibit of Gee's Bend quilts has traveled to museums around the country, Washington, D.C., New York, Atlanta, and other major cities. Alonzia Petway says it's still hard to believe.
We never thought that our quilt was artwork. We never heard about a quilt hanging on the wall in the museum. We never heard that. Before, we never had an idea that our quilt was hanging there. And everybody went to talk about our quilt, and everybody went to meet us and see our quilt, and that's what happened. Most of them would be more white than they do black. They come out and they support us, and I really enjoy that.
About three times a year now, ladies from the quilting circle travel to catch up with the exhibit.
The first trip we made was Houston, Texas, and we had a nice time. We stayed there 4 days, and they gave us the best hotels, and they gave us the best food, and they gave us the best time. That was our first trip, and we had never been on nothing like that before.
Their trips are a far cry from the daily routine here in Gee's Bend. After a morning of quilting, the women gather around the lunch tables with the other clients at the federally funded nutrition center. They share a devotion and sing spirituals before a hot meal. Quilting circle on this day includes Lola Petway and her mother, Ollie Petway, Lucy Marie Mingo, Ethel Lenora Petway Carter, and Alonzia Petway, who explains they are not all related.
We're not sisters. I'm not even kin to Lola. But, you know, we were given this name of Petway. We're not a Petway, but this name was given to us when we got about 100-something years ago. When the Petway man came in here, and he was a slave master, and he was a Petway. And everybody worked on his farm had to go on the name Petway.
Gee's Bend gets its name from Joseph Gee, who established a plantation on the Alabama River here in the early 1800s.
In that deep bend of the Alabama River, the Rich farmland.
Writer and storyteller Catherine Tucker Windham of Selma did an oral history of G's Bend in the 1970s for the National Endowment for the Humanities. She describes an isolated enclave of freed slaves who stayed on as sharecroppers after the Civil War. They raised cotton and borrowed against their crops for goods in the town of Camden, a short ferry ride across the river. When cotton prices fell during the Depression, Windham says, a businessman called in the debt.
The people down there tell about the time that they crossed the ferry on a spotted horse with a wagon, and he confiscated, took the wagons and the mules and the cows and the chickens and the pigs and the peas that were drying and the potatoes and the plows and the axes and the tools and loaded them up on the wagons and took them off back over to Camden, just cleaned them out, they say.
The people nearly starved to death, if not for fish from the river and squirrels in the woods. As Windham tells it, a Presbyterian preacher from Camden heard about their plight and sought federal relief.
Franklin Roosevelt, spurred on by his wife Eleanor, kind of adopted G's Bend as one of the early New Deal projects. It was certainly a socialistic community then. The government came in and bought the land and built 100 houses there for the people who were there and let them buy those houses. They replaced pole houses and rough plank houses they'd always lived in.
Alonzia Petway still lives in one of those government-era homes, a white clapboard house with a broad front porch. Inside a front bedroom, there are boxes of fabric pieces and stacks of folded-up quilts. Little white price tags are tied to their corners.
I sold one here about 6 months ago for $8,900. It made out of old clothes, just like this, and just made out of old knit pants and old black pants. All of this made out of old clothes. I mean, you make them out of old clothes, they really sell high.
She's somewhat amazed that her quilts can fetch such a price, considering she once sold a pair of quilts for $5 a piece.
It had been a time that I didn't have money, enough money to get a little groceries with and pay my bills up, and had nothing left, just a little money to get some washing powder and detergent with and deodorant and things with. But now I go to trade. Now it's much better because I can have money to buy other things. If I want to buy me something, I can buy it.
But there's no evidence of anything lavish in her home, only a pretty velvet sofa and a 1995 white Buick in the yard.
I went and bought that car out there. I bought that car, paid cash for that car. And I bought the sofa set, and I paid, it cost $1,600, and I paid cash for it.
Anything she buys, she has to drive at least 45 minutes to get to the nearest town, either Selma or Camden. G's Bend remains an isolated community at the end of a rural road in Alabama's poorest county. Petway remembers when it was only a 10-minute ferry ride to Camden, the county seat just across the Alabama River. But in the 1960s, the ferry disappeared.
The white people in Camden didn't want us to become registered voters, and they took it from us because we was coming right, trying to become registered voters, and they didn't want the black people to become registered voters, and they took it.
A recent effort to return ferry service to G's Bend has been frustrated. The boat can't get to shore to pick up passengers because of sediment movement in the dammed up river. So life here goes on pretty much as it has for decades. Lola Petway says don't be fooled by all the press their quilts have received.
Ain't nobody got rich off it. Sure ain't.
She's walking along the gravel path between the nutrition center and a whitewashed wood frame house next door where the G's Bend quilt collection is on display. You wouldn't know what was inside, but for a small hand-painted sign nailed to a wooden post by the road.
Unlock that.
Inside, hundreds of colorful quilts are piled high on every available surface, even on the floor. The ladies dig through to find their handiwork, using only window light because the light bulb is burned out. Lucy Mingo pulls out a white quilt with black branches spreading over it. She calls it the chestnut bud.
It's a tree branch. It's just like the bud what comes on the tree.
It took her 2 weeks to make it.
Because I cut all the pieces first. And when you get all the pieces cut, see, that's a handwork. You stitch it on.
No one has sold a quilt lately. They think maybe more people are making quilts now in the wake of their exhibit's popularity. But not here in G's Bend. Alonzia Petway says it's only the older women who still quilt.
I think the next 10 or 15 years, if don't train some young people to do, they're going to die, because young people now, they're not like us. Well, we were working in the field, and we wanted to make quilts to get in company with one another. But not what happened. Now the young women and the young men, they wakes. They go to work on their job, and they come back home, and they say they're too tired, they don't do it. Because my daughter over there at work, she go to work 7 o'clock in the morning and get back 3:30 in the afternoon, and she says she'd be too tired to try the piece of a quilt. She don't even try.
The touring exhibit of G's Bend Quilts is on display at the Chrysler Museum of Art in Norfolk. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.
Photos and extended interviews with Katherine Tucker Windham and some of the G's Bend quilters are at our website, npr.org. That's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.